Good grief. Now that reminds you of something or other. It reminds me of the time when Charlie Brown is ready to kick the football. Remember? He's back there, and guess who's holding it? Lucy. And she says, "Go ahead, Charlie Brown, kick the football. I won't drop it this time." Old Charlie Brown, yes, you will. No, come on, Charlie Brown. Charlie, every time, goes in and he gets to kick the ball, and of course she moves it, he falls flat on his back. And that's old Charlie Brown. What does he say? Good grief. Again. But that's good old Charlie Brown. Good grief. Is there such a thing as good grief? No, grief is grief. What's good about that? Well, maybe we'll find out as we look at this passage of the Word. We see the grief of the sisters of Lazarus. First of all, we have Martha's response in 17 to 27. The Lord arrives. He comes there in verses 17 to 20. So when Jesus came, verse 17 says, he found that he already had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles, and many of the Jews had joined the women, Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary was still sitting in the house. And you say, well, why would one go and one not? Well, different personalities. Martha was a strong personality. Martha was a doer. Get this thing done. Mary was more contemplative. Mary would sit in Luke. Luke chapter 10, they're sitting around. Jesus was visiting them. He was the guest of honor. And Martha was in the kitchen doing all the work, working, she's sweating. And finally she comes into the room, and there's Mary sitting next to Jesus, just talking to him. And she said, "Master, will you please tell her to get in the kitchen and help me?" And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. But there are only two choices here. Either get the food or fellowship with Jesus. And Mary has chosen the right one." Well, two different ways of serving the Lord. And what he was saying, I think, is that the physical food is important, but more important is the spiritual food. So there she was, Martha, out there, right away. And the Lord had an announcement for her. Verses 21 and 27. Martha's faith is shown here, and her boldness. You can imagine Martha would be the bold one. She talks about faith in the past. Verse 21 says, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" That's I believe that. I have faith in you, Lord. Yesterday, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Great. Well, verse 22 says she also had faith in the present time. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God's going to give it to you. So my past faith is great. Pass over here. Past faith is great. My present faith is great. George, you can do it. Now, her belief, her boldness was shown, but her belief was stated, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Didn't she know that? Of course. She said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Wow. Did she go to seminary or what? Yeah, that's a great statement to make. She had a solid belief here. Where'd she get it? Well, she got it from the Old Testament. See, the New Testament is great. And we know that the Lord's going to come and the Lord's all this. We know all that. But the Old Testament had that too. In Job 19, in all that misery that he was in, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the last day on the earth, after my skin has been destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God, and I shall see him for myself, not for some other. And then I love this. He says, and my heart yearns. My heart yearns within me because I know I'm going to see my Redeemer. Is that your testimony? Is that what you hear in your mind? The Lord is coming. All right, we're ready. It's great. I wrote my birthday. Somebody put it on the internet, and I got all kinds of things. And I wrote one large one back to them, and I said, I'm not going to die. I'm not expecting to die. The Lord is going to come, and the Lord's going to, I'm going to be in the rapture. I pray that all the time. Lord, I want to be in the rapture. And I said, I'm going to be there. And I quoted a Gaither song, of course. And it said, when I hear that trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. Well, that's my feeling. And that was what Lot was saying. I'm going to see the Lord, and that just wells up in me. I yearn for the coming of the Lord. There should never be a day that we don't have our thoughts about, the Lord is going to come. Lord, include me in that. I want to stay here until that happens. Well, she had a good faith, and her faith came from the Old Testament, from the Word of God. And then she had her faith stretched. That's good. And that's always that case. I have this faith. I know some things. But don't ever rest on that. Keep it. Hang on to it because it's the Word of God. But then add something to it. Get more. Because there's more there. And after we've been with him 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have more to learn. Ever learning about the Lord. So she needs to be stretched a little bit. Jesus is going to add something to her. His revelation is this, verses 25 and 26. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, that's great. But then he says, do you believe this? It's great. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Isn't that great news? And then, do you believe it? Oh, didn't think about that. Yeah, I believe it. So Jesus began with two words there. I am. And I am is the Old Testament word of God, about God. It's him. It's Jehovah. I, Jehovah, am the resurrection and the life. I don't think I've ever heard anybody else say it, but I think that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. And this idea that Jesus is not God, he's less than God, he's not whatever. No. He is God. He is that Jehovah. Whatever Jehovah was in the Old Testament, Jesus is in the New. Because he is that. So Jesus gave her a revelation. But then Martha has an answer. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's a great testimony. When you talk to somebody and they say, you say, now, do you know Jesus Christ? Yes, I know him. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, Lord, I believe that. John 20:31, remember? John says, these things I have written to you who believe, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, you have life through that name, his name. That's it. I heard a man preaching this morning, a pastor, and he had it mixed up. He hadn't done everything under the sun. But he didn't say, if you believe, you have eternal life. Now, if you believe and you do this and this and this, and you go back here and you keep on doing that, if you don't do that later on, none of that. That's what Martha said. Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Great testimony. So she stretched her faith out. She learned something else. She lived something else. And that's what we need to do. So that was Martha's response. Mary's response, a little different, but still a good response. Jesus gave an order in verse 28. And when Martha, had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. That's his order. Go. And Mary was obedient. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not come into the town, but was out in the place where Martha met him. He stayed out there. And Martha probably told her where it was until she could go. So she was obedient. She left right away. But then there's also not only Jesus' order and Mary's obedience, but also Mary's obeisance, worship. She bowed down to him. She worshiped him. But obeisance starts with an O at the end. But her comforters came with her. That's the A. Her comforters came with her, verse 31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Why would they go with her? They were going because they're comforters. They're grieving with her. If she goes out there to grieve, we're going out there to grieve with her. That's real comforting. She's going to go and she's going to weep there. But when she arrived where Jesus was, though she was grieving for her brother, she put that aside, and it was first things first. She came to Jesus. What would you do? Your brother has died, and you see Jesus who can raise him from the dead, who could have saved him from dying. When you first saw him, what would you say? Oh, do something. No, not that. She worshipped him. She came and she worshipped him. Before she did anything else. See, and I think that's a good note for us. When you come to the Lord, don't come in with your list. Hey, I want this, 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 and this. No. Start off with who he is and who you are. Even confession of sin, whatever. Come to the Lord in that way. Then, after we've set that all straight, we worshiped him, then comes the list, if you have to. So, her comforters were with her. They were coming to grieve with her. So, wherever she went, they went. And it's a real comfort to have somebody there. Somebody who is sympathetic with what you're doing. Real sympathy is summed up in 5 words, I believe. Real sympathy is your hurt in my heart. Not just I know what you're doing, but it hurts me. Your hurt in my heart. Paul put it this way. For though I am free from all men and have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Paul was the servant. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. to those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. That's sympathy. That's empathy. To those who were without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Why? I do this, he says, for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of the gospel with you. Isn't that great? The Apostle Paul saying to these folks, I have become all things that all people, in order that I may win people. That's the way the gospel goes. I don't look down my nose at people and say, not you. Everybody I meet is a potential sinner. I don't know, but I'll find out. And everything, I become as they are, so that I might be a partaker. I like this. Partaker of the gospel with you. All of us together are taking the gospel out, and we are partaking of it together. One person can't do it, but one person must do it. And that one person is me. And you say the same thing. That person is me. Don't be satisfied with, my church is doing this. No. What are you doing? That I might by all means win some. That's him. The comforters came with her. And then her confidence came with her. This is Mary now. Her confidence came with her. Verse 32 says, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and worshipped him. She knew him. She knew who he was. Confidence in his person. He is the Lord. Just like Martha said it. Martha said, you're the one who's come into the world. You're the Son of God. But Mary says the same thing. She fell down at his feet, worshiped. You're God. And her confidence in his purpose, too. Not just his person, his purpose. Says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Laid on the line. That's what she felt. That's all it was. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. He was doing signs of Messiah. She knew what he could do. Of course, she should have known also he could heal from a distance too. He did that. Well, didn't do it. So he chose not to do so. He could raise Lazarus, and he could raise people from death. Before he raised that child, remember the widow Nain, her son, raised him. Well, all of that is to say that she had confidence in his purpose as well as his person. Now, that's the grief of the sisters. Next we have the grief of the Savior, 33 to 37. Jesus wept. Why? Well, from what he saw. Wherefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews that came with her weeping, then verse 13b says, he groaned within his spirit and was troubled. What a friend we have in Jesus. Listen, what's next? All our sins and griefs to bear. Yeah. Wherever we are, we had it in the hymn this morning. Griefs. He bears them. That's what he suffered with there. And then what he said, verse 34 says, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. He's in there. He's with it. He's with her. He's with them. And when he gets to that spot, he showed what he did. Verse 35, Two words. Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the English Bible, but not in the Greek Bible. Rejoice evermore. I like the contrast. In the Greek text, rejoice evermore has less letters than the 17 of Jesus wept. It has 14. But in any case, I say that only because of the contrast. The death came, the grief was there, but then the rejoice evermore hits me. So that's in, by the way, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. See, these were his friends, close acquaintances, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They were grieved, and he was grieved for them. He was sorry for them. He was sorry for the race. He had created everything. He created everything perfectly. He did it himself, Jesus. And everything was all great. Adam and Eve, everything was there. But there was one person, Satan, who had it in for him. He ruined the whole thing by tempting Eve and then Adam. Of course, when it didn't happen until Adam sinned, but he brought ruin to the whole thing. And Jesus wept. But he also, the Jews wondered. Verses 36 and 37. The Jews wondered. There was a strong display of feeling. Verse 36. The Jews said, "Oh, how he loved Lazarus." They were right. He did love Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. He loved those grieving friends who were friends to her, who were helping her, showing her sympathy. And then there's the seeming display of failure. Verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Is that a good question? Great. It's a logical question. Why couldn't he do that? The answer is yes, he could have. God can do that, but he can also do, God can keep you out of that awful situation in which you find yourself now or anytime. Sure, he could. Then why did he not keep Lazarus from dying? See, we're in on it. We know what's going to happen. They didn't know that. He had a plan. He had a plan better than going there and healing Lazarus. What's a better plan than that? Well, the plan is you let him die, and then all those people are there. You got an audience. Then you raise him from the dead. You got a plan. See, you don't know what God's plan is for you. Nobody does. Wouldn't it be better if I weren't sick? Wouldn't it be better if I had all the money I need? No way at all. I think I've heard of very few people who won the lottery who have done better after they got the lottery. Very few. No, God has a plan. I know why I'm not rich. God couldn't trust me with money. I'm convinced. See? Well, what you have to say is this. Oh, grief is not easy. Is it good? Well, it's certainly not easy to go through. And through it all, remember that hymn? Through it all? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on His Word. The last stanza of that verse, of that song, is this. I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Why? If I never had a problem, I'd never know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. You're right, Charlie Brown. Grief can be good, because a good and righteous, loving God is controlling and using that grief for His glory. Lord, we thank You.